This presentation on club wheat functionality, the best subclass and subspecies in soft wheat, is designed to be a very rapid trip through all aspects of club wheat as it compares to its sister class soft white wheat, not necessarily comprehensive or overarching, but certainly enough to give you a feel for what goes on with club wheat as a class. By way of introduction, we have to settle on some nomenclature. Club wheat over the years has been variously classified, depending on who was doing the classification, when, and why. In some of the older literature, club wheat is referred to as Triticum compactum, but more recently, the phylogeneticists have decided that Triticum estivum, with a subspecies of compactum, is more accurate and more appropriate. The thing with phylogeneticists is that things change depending on the state of the knowledge and the definition of what constitutes a species, so this may or may not change in the future. It's also important to realize that botanically, what is listed as club wheat or Triticum compactum, Triticum estivum, subspecies compactum, is not necessarily what is reflected in U.S. grain grading standards. So a market subclass of club wheat exists within the market class of soft white and should be kept in mind that it's not the same thing as a botanical classification. Essentially, the greatest difference in club wheat is the head type. The type of head that club has is very compact, very condensed, as opposed to the more common or lax type of head. And the compact nature of the head dictates a lot of kernel morphology aspects and presents an easy tool to use to separate visually in a marketing classification system club wheat from soft white wheat in general. So again, we have to separate the botanical naming from the marketing classification. Subpart M of the U.S. Standards for Wheat from May 2006 established one class of soft white wheat with three subclasses therein. Soft white wheat is any soft white wheat in the U.S. However, soft white wheat per se is any soft endospermed white wheat containing not more than 10% club wheat, and conversely, club wheat is any soft endospermed white club wheat that does not contain more than 10% of other soft white. So the question arises, well, what about the in-between bits? Well, that's covered by the subclass Western White, which is a blend of more than 10% club, but less than 10% of soft white. So somewhere in there resides most of the wheat that is sold that contains club. And for reasons that will become apparent after a while, Western White is not necessarily the most advantageous class of wheat that club should be a part of. The head type in club wheat is controlled by the C. locus, likely a complex gene series, and it's collectively referred to as the lax gene. But I think C. locus is probably more accurate in that it reflects the complex nature of this set of genes. The C. locus is theoretically on chromosome 2D, the long arm, very near the centromere, and so close to the centromere that some studies have indicated that it's actually over on the other side, over onto the short arm of chromosome 2D. The wheat breeders in the past have tried to turn regular lax wheat into club wheat through direct integration of the C. locus. However, this results in a substantial yield decrease in terms of bushels per acre. Natural club wheat that began that way, has beyond the C. locus a genetic package that somewhat mitigates the loss of yield. Although club wheat yields a little bit less than soft white in the field, it's not as drastic a decrease in yield as what you get through the direct introgression of the C. locus into lax wheat. Triticum estivum as a hexaploid wheat dates to 10 or 12,000 years ago. However, club wheat is a slightly more modern invention dating from only about 8,000 years ago. Currently, club wheat is grown in Australia, Western Australia mostly, the Pacific Northwest region of the United States, some parts of South America, and Turkey. It was considerably more prevalent in the past in terms of both quantity and numbers of acres on which it was grown. And with the increases in breeding efficiency and introgressing disease resistance, club wheat may in the future take back some more of the area in which it was formerly grown. As you can see in the table here, from 2007, the production of club wheat is a relatively minor component of all the other classes grown in the United States. The hard wheats, Hard Red Winter and Hard Red Spain, by far dominate the production, with soft red and soft white wheat bringing up a more minor portion, and club wheat just a minor afterthought almost, as the wheat production in the U.S. composing 300,000 metric tons of wheat, and most of that is from the Pacific Northwest. So, we'll continue the discussion here mostly about the U.S. Pacific Northwest grown club wheats. It was the dominant soft variety grown in the middle of the last century. However, stripe rust, foot rot, head bunt, and other pathogens decimated the production over the middle part of the century, resulting in a great decrease in the number of acres that is planted to club wheat. As I said earlier, introgressing disease resistance from soft white wheat and other sources is beginning to allow production of club wheat in more higher rainfall areas than from where it's currently grown. Due to the nature of the diseases, club wheat is currently grown in mostly dry land areas in the state of Washington in the Pacific Northwest part of the U.S. However, with disease resistance, it's allowing club to be grown in higher rainfall and therefore higher production areas of the U.S. and may result in more bushels being produced each year. Club wheats do yield slightly less than soft white in the field, but this may be partially a reflection of their response to rainfall. But currently, not much is grown, nor will it be grown, unless the yield decrease can be offset by a slightly higher price to induce the farmers to actually grow more of it. Here we see the production in terms of acres planted to club wheat over the years from 1919 to 2007. In the early years, wheat was grown in a great many states, which is the green line and graphed against the right axis. It started off in 13 states, including states in the Midwest, such as Nebraska, Wyoming, bits of Colorado, places like that. But as turkey red and other hard red wheats began to take over acreage out in the Midwest area, the number of states growing it decreased, as did the production, up until about 1940, 1942, areas like that. After World War II, the production of club wheat skyrocketed substantially, mostly in the Pacific Northwest part of the U.S. There was great demand for it. But in about 1960 or so, a great decrease in the number of acres of club wheat occurred, and I'll discuss that in just a moment. However, a brief respite due to a type of club wheat, Omar, which has a single gene resistance to stripe rust, was introduced, resulting in a slight resurgence of the number of acres planted to club wheat. But the single gene resistance soon faded, and club wheat decreased to two or three states of production and a relatively low level from the years from about 1979 on. Here you see that fateful period in the late 50s and early 60s in the Pacific Northwest and what happened. In about 1960, almost 80% of the total production was club wheat, but within 3 years the production had tumbled somewhere down close to 10-15% of the total crop due to the presence of stripe rust taking much of the crop out, and the growers refused to grow it anymore. So what took its place? Well, soft white wheat took over with the advent of Gaines and New Gaines, which are semi-dwarf varieties of soft white wheat that were introduced by Orville Vogel and Norm Borlaug as part of the Green Revolution wheats. They took over the essentially all of the acreage that was lost to the club wheat. And this is where the concept of Western white wheat came into being. Western white is that blend of 10 to 90% club wheat within soft wheat. And this was introduced as a means to provide better milling and baking quality to the buyers of wheat than currently existed with just soft white at the time. And that class of wheat has persisted. In terms of functionality, different wheat classes are deliberately bred to have distinct visual or hardness characteristics, so that makes them easy to grade visually, and therefore unique end-use traits can be associated with these kernels having unique morphology or hardness characteristics. For example, hard wheat is intentionally bred to have high protein, strong gluten, and good bread-making potential. Soft wheat, conversely, is intentionally bred for more mellow gluten for use in cookie, cake, cracker, and other such end products. And all of the grading is based on visual or hardness characteristics. And so having unique morphology allows for unique end-use characteristics to be associated with that particular class of wheat. In this case, you can see the difference between common soft white or lax wheat versus club wheat. Club wheat has a distinct humpy, slightly malformed appearance to it due to the very compact head that constricts the expansion of kernels during grain fill. Soft white wheat with a lax head allows for full manifestation of seed fill, and you get much more uniform and even kernels. The slightly rounder, humpy, slightly misshapen kernels in club wheat allows for easy discrimination between club wheat and soft white in the grading process and determination of the exact percentage makeup of Western white. Overall, club wheat is slightly lower in test weight than soft white wheat, and that's due to its kernel size and shape. It doesn't pack into a container for measurement of test weight quite so easily. And although slightly lower in test weight, it's still very sound wheat, and this is reflected in the grading standards. U.S. number wheat for soft white wheat is 60 pounds per bushel. Club wheat has to attain 58 pounds per bushel to get a U.S. number one rating. I would like to point out that similar grading standards do exist for test weight in hard red spring versus hard red winter wheat. Hard red winter, 60 pounds per bushel is required to get a U.S. number one rating. For hard red spring wheat, you only need to achieve the level of 58 pounds per bushel. In terms of processing, which in this case would be milling, club wheat differs from soft white wheat in hardness. But the difference in hardness depends on the means of measurement and what the measurement might imply about grain structure and functionality. When measured by the single kernel characterization system, club and soft white wheat are nearly equal. The SKCS essentially crushes kernels of wheat and measures the force to smash them more or less flat. However, with NIR, club wheat shows a harder index than that of soft white wheat. And part of that, if you remember, is due to the fact that NIR is essentially a measure of particle size difference. And within the area of particle size, club wheat makes a slightly larger particle. It means it seems slightly harder when the same force is applied, it just reduces into bigger chunks. So this gives club wheat a bit of an advantage in break flour yield. And it sifts out easier, flows more easily than does soft white, but maybe not as much as hard red does. But the total flour yield is higher, and if you think about it as well, higher break flour yield equals less residence time within the mill, fewer passes through rolls, less processing, and that equates to reduced starch damage in pure club wheat lots that are milled. However, the trade-off due to the high break flour yield is that you need to increase the bolting area or the number of sifters within the mill to accommodate the early release of the endosperm as flour. And you can see in the chart here that within the single kernel system, club and soft white are very nearly the equal in terms of how much force it takes to fracture the kernel. In the next column over, the near infrared shows that club wheat is substantially harder than soft wheat. And that means that it falls apart earlier, has a little bit larger particle size, and that's reflected in break flour yield, where you get a 4-5% increase in break flour yield for club wheat over soft white. And in fact, overall flour yield is increased in club wheat versus soft white by 2 and sometimes 3% at very much the same flour ash level. These data are derived from an experimental quadramat mill within the laboratory. A MEHOG pilot scale mill provides a total of about 76 and 79% flour yield respectively for soft white and club wheats. And so the difference in flour yield total is maintained throughout. In this picture, we see bran derived from experimental mill. On the left is the club wheat bran, which, although difficult to see in a picture, is distinctly thinner, more translucent, and generally less endosperm associated with it. On the right is soft white bran, which looks distinctly clunkier. It looks thicker. It has more endosperm particles still adhering to it. And if you're setting a mill roll, you can set it much much more tightly gapped for club wheat than you can for soft white and achieve that higher break flower and total flower yield. However, if you blend club and soft white together into Western White, you have to gap your middle to favor the soft white brand, because otherwise you're going to be chewing up the brand, increasing ash content, and causing other problems with the mill. In theory, better flour yield and better production and greater economy could be provided by milling the club wheat separately from the soft white to take advantage of the mill's capabilities to more finely pry the endosperm off of a very thin bran coat. In terms of in-use functionality, club wheat has lower water absorption and reduced gluten strength compared to that of soft white. Club wheats have typically, a 0.5% lower protein content on average when compared to the soft whites over the long term and in the grossest analysis possible. And this is partly due to the nature of the club wheat just not to lay down as much protein within the kernel, but also lower water absorption in a mixograph sense is due to fewer high molecular weight glutenin subunits, resulting in fewer gluten-forming proteins. As a result of this, club wheat functionality response is very flat over a wide range of protein content. Club wheats behave very much the same when baked at about 6 or 7% protein content versus 11 or 12% protein. Their response is essentially flat due to protein and gluten formation issues. That means that club wheat is better suited for delicate cakes, cookies, pastries, wherein you don't want much gluten formation to occur at all, where you want very tender, non-chewy products. Soft wheat is much better in other applications like crackers, noodles, and flatbreads, where some gluten development is desired. Here we have mixograph traces of club soft white and hard red wheats at approximately equal protein contents. You can see that the hard wheat has a very high mixograph peak, has good mixing tolerance after the peak occurs, and certainly takes a good amount of moisture and hydration to form the gluten properly. Soft white wheat is somewhat intermediate between club and hard red. It shows a peak that is shorter and lower than that which is in hard wheat, but it does still exhibit some slight mixing tolerance after the peak. Club wheat, however, gets its small amount of gluten together in a hurry. It develops rapidly, but it also breaks down very rapidly and has very little mixing tolerance at all. It also takes a fair bit less water to develop that gluten, such as it is. Part of the reason for that, as I indicated, was the glutenin subunits. In an extreme case, here's a presentation with hard wheat on the left, showing bands 1, 5 plus 10, and 17, 18. It's a very good bread baking wheat, forms very strong gluten. On the right side is a club wheat, and this is the pattern that we like to see in club wheats because it is quite minimal in the number of high molecular weight glutenin subunits. Although you can't see it, the band 6 is there, somewhere in the middle, and you get a resulting overall pattern of a null 6 and 212, meaning that the gluten-forming potential is very low here. Overall, the mixograph water absorption in club wheat is down about 4% from that of soft white on a long-term average, and the protein content for flour at 14% moisture basis is similarly about 0.5% lower. In terms of baking functionality, club wheat is best used for products that require reduced gluten strength and quantity. Very tender products that don't have any chewiness or plasticity involved at all with a dough. It makes very good cookies, although some soft white cookies may be a little bit better in making the cookie than does club wheats. Club wheat makes extremely good cakes, probably the best cakes that we see out in the area of classes of wheats. Excellent cakes always. In some of these functional aspects, both in terms of positive and negative aspects, may derive from oxidative gelation as well as overtones of the gluten-forming potential. Oxidative gelation occurs within and among arabinoxylan and proteins through ferulic cross-linking between themselves and some with tyrosine within the proteins of wheat. It forms a very large matrix that limits spread and increases viscosity within doughs and batters. Oxidative gelation, due to the enhancement of viscosity, allows for the retention of leavening gases, either chemical leavenings or air leavenings, and allows for a more fluffy, fully formed cake to result. But at the same time, the formation of this matrix also limits cookie spread potential. It doesn't let the cookies spread out as much as they might otherwise. It's worthy of note here that not only do club wheats have higher oxidative gelation forming potential than does soft white wheat, but patent flours as well have enhanced oxidative gelation potential when compared to straight grade flours. This almost necessarily implies that we as wheat breeding communities have bred club wheat to have higher oxidative gelation forming potential without knowing it, just through selecting those varieties that make the best cakes. And this could provide a handle to provide even better club type wheats for baking cookies and cakes. Here you see the difference between cookie diameters between clubs and soft wheats, club leading it by a little, but this is primarily due to more modern varieties of club wheat being produced that do a better job of cookie baking. The really stellar aspect of this is the fact that club wheat produces larger Japanese sponge cakes in a volume sense. Although the difference here is only 35 cc's, it's where this difference occurs that makes all the difference in the world. Here we have the infamous lineup of the various cookies, with the hard wheat cookie on the right, a soft wheat in the middle, and a club wheat cookie on the left. The soft white and the club wheat, similar but not quite equal. Club wheat being a very good cookie baking wheat, but sometimes soft white can do better. Where it really stars is in the making of sponge cakes. And this is a Japanese sponge cake, and these are very delicate, high volume cakes, and a very simple formula, just eggs, sugar, water, and the flour. And on the left, you can see the club wheat, which has a very uniform grain from top to bottom, nice uniform cells all the way up and down. On the right, if you look down in the lower one-third to one-quarter of the cake, you can see a certain density beginning to arise within the crumb structure. And this is not favored by the consumer. They want their cakes to be uniformly textured throughout from top to bottom. And this is where the 35 cc difference arises between club and soft white. There's a little more density down there in that bottom section in the soft white that is not present in the club wheat. And this is due to the extra viscosity within the batter, probably due to oxidative gelation. So to wrap up, club wheat is superior to the soft white wheat, definitely in milling and definitely in cake baking. Club wheat has about the equal potential for cookie baking to the best soft white wheats, although sometimes soft white wheat bests the club wheats, and this is due also to the oxidative gelation, in that soft wheat has a reduced potential for oxidative gelation that allows a cookie to spread a little bit more easily than the club wheats. Western white is a blend, a marketing class that dilutes the best qualities of both the club and the soft wheat. And I would suggest that the industry might re-examine the use of Western white as a marketing class, because it is disadvantageous to the best qualities of both subclasses of wheat. Buyers might be economically better off, in fact, buying these two classes of wheat as separate classes, milling them separately, and making any blends they want in an informed manner after they do their milling. But this would depend very much on milling capacity, storage capacity, and other issues. But I would suggest that economically, 2 or 3% more flour yield might just be economic for the mills. More demand of these classes in their own separate ways could translate into more production from the growers when they realize that there's more demand for this type of wheat. And I would also suggest that buyers as well as breeders should begin to think of wheat more as an ingredient and not so much as a bulk commodity, because there could be efficiencies derived from use of club wheat separately from soft white that would benefit almost everyone. And with that, thank you very much for listening to this presentation. If you have any questions, get a hold of me at the email up at the top of the screen, or come by and visit our website, which is listed below. Thank you very much.